night with the to run down what goes on tonight in the Digress Radio Sports Show brought to you by Anchor.fm. On the way to create your own podcast, we get into NFL draft. We recap round one from last night, and we recap what has happened so far tonight. And rounds two and three, like Jalen Hurts, we'll tell you where he went if you don't know yet. Zach Bond, how he completely dropped the lineman. How similar our mock draft was to the actual draft. And DeAndre Swift goes to the Lions. That and much more to talk about. And we'll also tell you about what you guys want as a name change. We're going to change the name of our sports show. And Moon Vibes joins us.
What's up, Dave?
What's going on?
Happy Friday night. Happy David Rice Radio Black Sports Show.
Yeah, we had a chance to chat earlier before the show, and we talked about you know, the name change. We talked about just for a hot second draft. I don't even know if we really got into the draft, but let's get right into it. Round one recap. Tell us if anybody listening last missed the draft coverage here yesterday. They could obviously go back and listen to a replay. We'd appreciate if you, you know, listened to all 5 hours. And if you don't want to, that's totally okay. Again, it's 5 hours long. But tell us a little bit about if they missed yesterday. What kind of happened in round one? Or just some of the surprises and maybe some of the not surprises.
Okay, so while we do that, I want to shout out to everybody that that tuned in last night to listen live. I want to appreciate you guys because, you know, everybody that came out, you know, we really appreciate you. So, yeah, with that being said, we'll start off with the draft. So, I mean, the first three picks were a lock. We had Joe Burrow, Chase Young, go number two, Detroit Lions, Jeff Okuda, three. Then that's when it started to get a little bit changing. The New York Giants, we all thought they was going to draft Isaiah Simmons or, you know, possibly a skill player or a defensive lineman, but they drafted the offensive tackle. The Dolphins selected Tua Tagovailoa from QB from Alabama. The Chargers jumped in and snagged Justin Herbert. The Carolina Panthers took Derrick Brown. Isaiah Simmons took was taken, selected by the Arizona Cardinals, C.J. Henderson, number 9, to Jacksonville Jaguars. Started to get interested. Picks 10 through 20 were kind of like all over the place. The Browns and the Jets taking offensive linemen instead of wide receivers. The Vegas Raiders taking Henry Ruggs. They had Henry Ruggs graded as the first number one wide receiver out of this draft. That was interesting. The Dallas Cowboys selecting CeeDee Lamb was being dealt to them.
And we'll get into that because he's the subject of our funny moment of the week.
Yes, that was very funny. And what else was there? There was
I don't know his name. I can't think of who it was, but he was wearing a bathrobe.
Oh, yeah, that was Henry Ruggs.
Yeah.
Henry Ruggs, he got selected by the Raiders, came out in a bathrobe. Bathrobes, man. I think it was Old Spice.
And then we have...
The biggest surprise was the Green Bay Packers at number 26, taking Jordan Love, going back to Utah State. That had to be the biggest surprise of the first round. And also Kansas City selecting Clyde Edwards Hilaire from LSU as well.
And then a guy I know from Michigan, Cesar Ruiz, went to the Saints. And then you got so let's run down. So there are four quarterbacks taken in the first round, one running back, five wide receivers, seven O-linemen, two D-linemen, that doesn't include tackles or guards, five linebackers, and six cornerbacks. So, but there's a record of 15 SEC players. I know you're big. You're in Georgia. You're an SEC guy. Elaborate on that. What does that mean for what does that mean for you being down there in SEC land?
For it's a sense of pride that comes, you know, being in the SEC and in the middle of it, right in the South. Because we take football, of course, I know there's places on earth that takes football seriously, but college football, you know, we don't have major sports teams in the South, especially like in the NFL. So for us to have, you know, the colleges generating that much profit, that much exposure, you know, just for these universities, and just the NCAA period, that's where the money is at, where these college stadiums are just, you know, looking like NFL stadiums, packing over 100,000. So, you know, it's just saying a lot about the nature of the conference, the competition of the conference, and that people are going to the SEC to really get quality players that they know that are playing against high level competition day in and day out in their respective programs.
Here, we started a few minutes late, so we'll be on until 12:15 tonight. That'll be an hour and a half as usual. So throughout, of course, the second and the third round is going on right now. They're almost done with the third round. They'll be done within about a half hour, maybe-ish. So we'll follow some of the picks as we go. So it looks like the Patriots are on the clock, and they took Anfernee Jennings, another SEC guy from Alabama, linebacker. He was 2019 first team all SEC and rest him. Jalen Hurts, he went to the Eagles a little while ago.
Yes.
With the 36 pick, I believe. So he's again SEC. Well, he was SEC, then he transferred to Oklahoma, Big 12. Just your thoughts on Jalen Hurts. Do you think that that's a good move for him?
Yeah, so I actually caught that move while I had just turned my TV to the draft, and Philadelphia was on the clock, and I didn't have any idea who they were going to take, and they ended up going Jalen Hurts. And I was actually at a fulfilling feeling for it. That's a tongue twister, but legit, it was a feeling of excitement, because I know that they can use him in like a Taysom Hill kind of fashion, where Doug Peterson can come in and like create packages for him. He's a great insurance policy just in case Carson Wentz happens to get hurt. And I just think that for him, this is the perfect situation to go to Jalen Hurts and going to a quarterback-friendly offense with a quarterback-friendly coach. I would be crying tears of joy if I was sitting down with Jalen Hurts, because you got to be thinking of lucky stars. Like, he could have easily went to a team that wouldn't be able to use him in his personnel, but for Philadelphia to take him 36 overall, high up in the second round, that shows you where they have him valued.
And what's also cool is that for him, he could have some playing time because Carson Wentz has gotten hurt for a period of time over the past few years. So we might expect that again this season, because he's gotten hurt almost every year of his career, and he's, you know, set out for a few games. So I feel like for him, he might get that opportunity to step in and get some quality playing time, and unexpected. And maybe, obviously, he'll play all the preseason, but those really games don't really, matter to the majority public. But the Browns pick is in now. They selected Jedrick Willis with the 10th pick. Do you think that's a good pick for him?
Oh, yeah, the Browns. We were talking about it yesterday in the live draft. You know, I just had a feeling they turned their pick in very fast. Like, the fastest pick that came in all night was the Browns, and they knew who they were going to take. I think after the Jacksonville Jaguars took C.J. Henderson, you know, why not turn my pick in fast?
Yeah. And maybe he was the first guy that they were looking at, so it'd be
or that they had lucky on board.
Yeah, because I don't think it would. If he wasn't first on their board, it would have been a little slower of a pick.
Exactly.
So, and also we'd like to let you know after tonight's show that we have from 12:15 to 5:15 a.m. Eastern Time, we have the top songs from 1990. Tonight's 1999, so I know we'll have a little Prince playing, but Jerry Judy to the Broncos. They've got a nice young core building in Denver. Cortland Sutton, and then they got Melvin Gordon. They got Drew Lock now as their starting quarterback. What do you think the future looks like for them?
Beautiful. You got the top graded receiver to most. You know, in the draft, Jerry Judy, him adding with Cortland Sutton, just wonderful. The addition of Melvin Gordon is dope. I would love to see them do better at protecting Drew Lock and giving Melvin Gordon, holes to run through. So we'll see what they do with building their offensive line. However, right now, just from like early estimations, it looks great on paper. You know, they really feel the need. They feel the need. It's not like they just drafted just a draft. They needed a receiver. Because, you know, with the loss and the partnership of Emmanuel Sanders, you're basically drafting Jerry Judy to replace Emmanuel Sanders for real. So I think that he can come in and give you production right away. And because he went to Bama and that's an SEC product, and, you know, we'll see how that, you know, translates over. Hopefully it translates over easier. When he's adjusting to the NFL.
And then you obviously had CeeDee Lamb going to Dallas. Just how much does that stun or surprise you that Jerry Jones did the draft from, you know, his casual $250 million yacht? You know, he's just, you know, he's somebody could just come up to his house, and they're gonna walk into his house and it's always gonna be like, oh yeah, he's in his yacht doing the draft.
Yo, like, that's actually not surprising at all. It was actually just funny just to see a lot and actually happen like that.
It didn't look like it, though.
Yeah, it didn't, though. And, you
know, it's a power of money.
Pick, though, for him in the pick, it was dope. He took the best player available for them.
Yeah.
Because the mock draft had Dallas taking Xavier McKinney. And if I'm correct, Xavier McKinney, he didn't go until
we didn't have it. Well, in our mock draft, we didn't have Xavier McKinney going at all in the first round. So
yeah, he didn't. He went second round to the New York Giants, pick 36.
Yeah,
actually, yeah, 36. Jalen Hurts was pick. Who was the Eagles? Eagles. Where's the Eagles at?
But while you're looking at that, Patrick Queen surprisingly goes to Baltimore. I think it's surprising for me. I absolutely didn't want you. You heard my frustration last night with Jordan Love. But. Do you think that the Packers should have drafted Patrick Queen over Jordan Love?
They could have.
Do you think?
Because
I mean, we know they could have.
Their line defense. Yeah, they could have. They passed on him, though.
Yeah, they could have. But do you think that it would have been a better idea to draft him? Because Packers, we had horrible run defense.
We talked about that in a previous show leading up to the mock draft. You know, I really felt like the Packers needed linebacker depth to help with their run defense. And I also felt like they needed just any defensive help to begin with, especially when you're not even looking. You're looking at it like this. Jordan Love, you're going to piss off Aaron Rodgers, of course. But Jordan Love can't immediately help you guys win at all. So
it was kind of like, oh, I don't want to say a wasted pick, but that pick is not going to help him now. So, yes, Patrick Queen would have helped him win now. Yes. Anybody that's going in the last, you know, those picks could have helped him win now. Jordan Brooks, linebacker, could have helped him win now. Offensive tackle, Isaiah Wilson, could have helped him win now. Even drafting cornerbacks, Jeff Gladney or Noah Igbonjene from Auburn, you know, they could have used that. That's a plug and play corner now. So they're choosing to invest in their future. So you don't know how much you can blame them. But you know, me and you personally don't like it. You don't like it way more than I do.
So right now they are on the 25th pick of the second round. So 89 overall. So they have 7 more left live. And it's the Vikings around the clock, and their pick is in, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the only running back taken in the first round by the Chiefs. Was that a surprising pick?
Only reason it was surprising was because I would expect DeAndre Swift to go there, but if you look at it, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he fits the mold of the Damian Williams, like, combo type of back that they needed so desperately. And since Shady was very injury prone at the end of the season last year. So now they have a two-headed monster that's going to be hard to stop. You know, Clyde Edwards is, you know, 5'8", 220-ish. Like, so he's like a bowling ball, so he's going to be able to wreak havoc those defenses in the AFC West. But it didn't surprise me for them going running back. It just surprised me the name. So they had Clyde Edwards, and I heard reports of that Patrick Mahomes wanted them to draft him.
So Cameron Dantzler, cornerback from Mississippi State, another SEC guy, just went to Minnesota, and that, I think that was definitely necessary because Xavier Rhodes is there. But Minnesota, they took a wide receiver in the first round. I don't know who they took in the second round, but with his career at Mississippi State, he had 108 pressures, along with only seven interceptions. And he's gotten to Joe Burrow a few times with sacks. And the Texans are on the clock. But some new additions that they've had this year, David Johnson and Randall Cobb. How we're just going team-to-team coverage here before we move on later on the show. But how big of additions are those, Randall Cobb and then a veteran experience running back like David Johnson?
What team is this?
The Texans.
Oh, yeah. So, first off, I heard that they are in the process of reworking Deshaun Watson's contract, which is really dope. So, it's good to have another weapon. It's bad that they lost Nuke. But do I see Randall Cobb as a number two receiver? No. He's more of a slot guy. But David Johnson is going to be the one that helps them the most because that's taking the ball out of Deshaun Watson's hand. And I bet they wish they could use David Johnson in the playoffs. And they were up, you know, 21-0 in the first quarter. So, you know, I bet they wish they could milk the clock then. So it'll help them next year. Just hopefully they can protect. That way, Deshaun Watson doesn't have to take them in the sacks and not much punishment.
And speaking of Texans, they just drafted Jonathan Grenard, outside linebacker from Florida. But Houston also, they did not have a first round draft pick. But look, the next thing I wanted to cover quickly before we react. To The Last Dance from last week, and then previewing it, three parts, three and four on Sunday. So let's see how similar was our mock draft to the actual drafts. So we had Burrow 1, Chase Young 2, then Okuda 3. I know I said after the show last night I was gonna have a chance. I never ended up getting a chance to count the number of correct picks, but we will not count it as a correct pick, even if there was a trade. So we will not count it if it's correct even with trades. Though we can't predict trades, but I think that's the only bad part about doing trades in our mock draft, though, is that we don't. It could mess up our whole, you know.
Maybe
thing, but. So let's see, Burrow, Young, and Kudas, that's three. And then we're just doing first round only. And then we had, the Giants get Andrew Thomas. Yes, that was wrong for us. We predicted Tua and then Justin Herbert. So there's five. And then did we have Derek Brown going to Carolina? No. Arizona? Yes, they ended up taking Isaiah Simmons. While I'm counting up this, can you kind of elaborate on how good of a pick that was for them to take Isaiah Simmons?
Yeah, it was a great pick. We were talking about it in a pre-draft show that the Cardinals are in a position where we were hearing rumors that they might trade back. And we were kind of like, I was saying adamantly that why would you trade back if you have a chance to take like Isaiah Simmons off the board and he falls into your lap? You take that and you run with it and you get out of town. Like, you go all the way. And that's what ended up happening. So I know they have to be ecstatic. I know that they still have needs in the offensive line, but they can still fill them. Let me see what they drafted in the second round.
Okay, so because we had so many trades, like in our at the bottom of our first round draft, so it looks like Seattle did not take them. So we only got seven out of our 32 picks right in our mock draft. That's only because of our trades. I think I liked doing the trades, but I don't, because we can't predict them, I don't think we should do them next year and just draft just from the order, only because obviously we can't predict trades and then that messes up, you know, everything with our predictions.
Yeah, we can make it work like that next year. But yeah, seven, it's crazy. Like, out of those seven, who got the most of them right out of everybody?
So there's seven total, but I'm gonna digest or kind of break that down. So how many did I get right? So obviously I had Chase Young. There's one. And then did I have Carolina taking CJ Henderson? No, they didn't take him. I didn't get very many picks after trades. So DeAndre Swift. So I only got one out of those seven. So that's disappointing for me because I, for some reason, accepted so many trades that were handed my way. And then I offered trades and they definitely didn't work out. So Zach had 1, 2. And then he had the Chargers taking Herbert. So that's 3. And then he had, that wasn't me, they took 2 out of the Dolphins.
That was me.
Yep, that was you. And then Zach also had, did he have Henry Ruggs? Yes, he did. So there's 4. And then he had Trevon Diggs. So that's 6. And then Sports Bar had, and then he had, or no, you had 5 correct. I had 1, and you had 1. So my bad. Zach 5. You had 1. Zach had 1. Sports Bar didn't have any of the 7. So Zach was the leading.
Wait, which one?
Which ones were correct that we had?
With Burrow, Chase Young, Okuda.
Okuda.
And then we had Tua and Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
And then we had Henry Ruggs at 12.
We got Isaiah Simmons, right?
Yeah.
That was my pick.
That's 7.
Henry Ruggs.
Yep.
Yeah. But everything else kind of went downhill from that one.
So that's 7 as far as I counted. Sometimes my math is incorrect, but we'll also get into name changes tonight. But first, The Last Dance. The only bad part about our show being at Nolly Fry's is that we had to wait a whole week to talk and let out all of our feelings. Parts 1 and 2 of The Last Dance, your thoughts on that. I'm going to let you take the floor before I give my thoughts.
I actually want you to go first. If you,
you want me to go first?
Yes.
I will go first. This is you. You usually go first, so that was actually kind of a shock when you said I go first. But I think it was great. They really, when they say unprecedented access to a film crew and get everything, they literally met. They got almost everything. They got, and just parts 1 and 2, they covered a ton, you know, behind the scenes and at practices. And Roger Goodell's actually sitting in his chair right now. He's not standing. Ravens took a wide receiver, but for the documentary, I like that they went into real good detail. I actually agree with them picking on Jerry Krause only because he really initiated, he wanted Phil Jackson out of there, even though they won their 6th championship, their second three-peat. They won 3 championships in a row for a 3-year stretch. Jordan retired for a year, came back, and guess what? They won 3 more in a row. So really won 6 out of the 8 years, you know, in that span. And then you go and fire your coach. I think he's the greatest coach in NBA history because he had 11 championships. He had 5 with Kobe, and then he had 6 with Jordan. And just to want him out when he's the Zen master, Phil Jackson. I think that was a horrible move by him when he said Phil Jackson is going to be his last year as the coach of the Bulls. And then also him underpaying Scottie Pippen because Scottie Pippen was 122nd in the NBA in salary. He was 6th on his team in salary. Like Luke Longley, Michael Jordan, Dennis Rodman, Steve Kerr were in front of him. And that's, I think even like Bill Weddington or Tony Kukoc was ahead of him as well. But that's also what I did. Those 2 things that are negative towards Jerry Krause. I thought Jerry Weinsdorf, the owner, I thought he should have fired Jerry Krause then, because I'm sure Jerry Reinsdorf, the owner, I'm sure he wanted Phil Jackson to stay there for a few more years. I'm sure Phil wanted to stay there a few more years. But his relationship with Jerry Krause just wasn't working out. It was getting real tense. So yeah, those are my thoughts on it. And I can't wait till part 3 and 4 on Sunday. I think it'll be even better.
Yeah, I can't wait. And I think that they went like all over the place. They were trying to like
cover as many things as possible.
Yeah, like you were right about the practices and the access. It was in your face, breathtaking, captivating. The 2 hours went by incredibly fast. I know hour number 1, I was on a live comment section for the on Bleacher Report. So it just felt like the 2 hours just went by absolutely fast. You know, the first problem came up in the first minutes of the episode when you hear, like Jerry wanted to be in rebuilding mode after they had got to 1997, 1998.
And it was just crazy to see like how open and how disrespectful they were to him. But at the same time, it was crazy just to see how ruthless Jerry and I forgot the other guy's name, but who allowed Jerry to even be the GM in the first place. Like I feel like he plays a lot of the blame as well, because like he's empowering this guy who Jerry let his ego get in the way of winning more championships. Especially when you tell Phil Jackson, you're I don't care if you go 82-0, you're still not coming back next year. That's ego all the way, man. And that's just being stubborn. So, you know, with that being said, it's crazy because, you know, you just see
so many interesting dynamics. The one other dynamic that you didn't really talk about was Scottie Pippen being massively underpaid, them offering that contract to him. And, you know, I think it was like 7 years, $16 million, $18 million, something like that. So, just putting up crazy stats. Michael Jordan said in a documentary that you can't talk about Michael Jordan without Scottie Pippen, but for Michael to call him selfish for worrying about his contract, I didn't care. I didn't too much care for that. Especially when Michael Jordan was making, 30 plus? And then at the same time, like, you know, you're telling him don't get off-season surgery because you want to have a chance to win. I feel like Scottie Pippen was the reason why we got the dog Michael Jordan, like the ruthless Michael Jordan. Because when Scottie got hurt, that's when Michael kind of took it to the next level. At least that's what I saw from in the documentary. Very in your face, very take it or leave it, Michael was. They showed a lot of just footage that you wouldn't even really expect to see. You know, it was just a lot. They talked about Michael Jordan being a rookie and him not wanting to party and go out, and, you know, all that other stuff. He was playing with the Coke boys. He tried to make it seem like he was playing with the Coke boys. They had that. They were talking about, you know, they ventured off into Jordan's glory days at North Carolina, including a certain shot that won the NCAA title for the Tar Heels over Patrick Ewing and the Georgetown Hoyas. And it was just saying, like, how Michael felt like that was his Michael Jordan, this is my name moment. But, you know, I think that it was just for a good part of it, early in the part in episode one, they're talking about cocaine and partying, how Michael didn't want to do that. Me personally, I feel like Michael was, like, high as hell. Throughout the whole thing, they showed him smoking a blunt at the beginning of the episode.
Right.
They showed him when we saw them with what was in his cup. So he was smelling good, man. He was smelling good. But I think that overall, Scottie was just massively underpaid. I love how episode two centered around Scottie. And you saw how Scottie ended up turning on Jerry after he went and renegotiated his deal. And I think that was very telling as well. Because he deserved to be paid like the highest. But ultimately, the most important thing is the
cut out, we can't hear you. No, we still can't hear you. Oh, it kicked you off. Okay. But, I get what you're saying, from your perspective. So you go back.
They kicked me off. They kicked me off.
All right, well, it kicked him off again.
But I definitely feel, again, from what you're saying, that it was definitely his ego that drove Phil Jackson out of there. And the bad part about his ego is that even if they went 82-0, and even if they did win like a seventh championship in 1999, that if he would have stayed one more year, I feel like even if they went 82-0, and because they ended up winning that year, there's no, like, you should have kept them there. If you're winning, keep doing what you're doing. Don't switch things up and don't rebuild.
Yeah, I think that that's definitely true. And you're riding a high horse. And I think that comes down to Jerry wanting to win because of the players that Jerry put in. And that's what it really comes down to. The numbers for ESPN in The Last Dance was just absolutely through the roof. Congratulations to them. Special shouts out to them because I know that they put a lot of work and effort into releasing this. But let me get the specific numbers.
I believe that it was 6.1.
Yeah, 6.5 million. Yeah, in that range, 6 million listeners or watchers for both episodes. And that's a lot. Definitely a lot. But it was interesting how MJ put out that he gave permission to do this right after LeBron won in 2016. So he probably felt like LeBron was creeping up to him in his legacy. But ultimately, he put it out now. It was just interesting, man, like just to see everything. The series was first announced in May 2018. And the first trailer was released on December 25th, 2018. The release date was pushed back to June 20th after another trailer was released in December 2019. But because of the coronavirus pandemic and the impact of it, ESPN published the final trailer on March the 31st and premiered on April 19th, releasing the following statement. Well, I don't have to get into the statement, but yeah, it's just iconic on their part. It was very intriguing. That's the one thing I will say. Like, they did a great job, and I'm happy that they are doing it two episodes at a time because I don't think they could have just made just one episode at a time.
Right. So, also, speaking of basketball, we have, by the way, the Packers just selected a tight end. I'm more happy with that pick. It is Josiah DeGuara, tight end from Cincinnati. He was first team All-ACC. He had 7 touchdowns and 900 yards last year. And they took a running back last round, A.J. Dillon. But we'll get into that. But
that's a great pickup from him. He's a very productive back out of Boston College. I'm AJ Dillon.
So we have 3 things to cover in the basketball world for the rest of the show as we have 48 and 50 minutes left. But 2 things involve Kobe Bryant. One, his last season of his career, he let a camera crew film him, kind of like Michael Jordan. So we'll talk about that. And the other thing about Kobe, his family in Vanessa, they're suing the helicopter company. We'll get into those details. Plus, LeBron James. We'll talk about the big question for him is, do you think he will let a camera crew follow him around for his last few seasons? So we'll get into that. But first, let's get this music set. We have John Legend coming up next on David Rice Radio. And after that, we have our song of the week, Blinding Lights by The Weeknd, ranked number 2 in the Billboard Hot 100. Ben Anchor's number 3 podcast. As obvious, Anchor can automatically distribute your show to all platforms such as Apple Music, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and just about any other platform you can think of. So go to anchor.fm or visit the free Anchor app on your iOS or Android device today. So the next big three things that we were going to talk about was two things. We'll get to Kobe Bryant. Two things. The first thing was that is the music good? Can you hear me over the music?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. So Kobe Bryant, obviously his family, so Vanessa, they're suing the helicopter company because not taking more care, apparently when they were flying on the day of him and Gianna, when they lost their life. What was your initial reaction when you heard that they are officially filing that lawsuit? There are rumors of it, but now it's official and that they're going full force.
I mean, I feel like they should go full force. And it's a tragic situation, but it could have been prevented. I feel that it could have. Keep in mind, Kobe always used the method of helicopter transportation throughout his career. So it's not like he just got on the helicopter one day for the first time and then boom, you know, it goes down. He's been riding helicopters as mode of transportation for a while, but you know, they could get an excess amount of money for, you know, winning the case. It's not going to bring Kobe back, but if they feel like it can give them some type of inner peace, then I say go for it and go as hard as you can. But yeah, that's how I feel about it.
And personally, I definitely agree. I think, again, could have been prevented. Yes, but again, he lives in the LA area, California, and their practice was all the way in Texas. And obviously, it would, you know, take him half a day to get there by car. So that's the only way that they could do it. And he's had a helicopter his whole career. And as soon as he got out of high school, he lost that. So that way, he can travel wherever. He can go to a party and you know, Hawaii one night and fly back to California, you know, the next morning instead of, you know, booking, you know, vacation type thing. And the next thing that we wanted to quickly cover was Mamba Out is likely going to be the next name for his documentary. And that they actually filmed his last season with the Lakers. And they're going to put out a documentary sometime of it. Two parts to this question. A, when do you think they'll come out with it? And B, do you think this was a good move by Kobe and his team in order to maybe secure his legacy as well and kind of go the route that Jordan did?
I think that Kobe doesn't have to secure his legacy. His legacy is already secured. Even if they don't put out a documentary, he already has a body of work out that's similar to that. If you remember, it was Spike Lee who shot Kobe doing work. And that was an iconic film that followed him for an entire game against San Antonio Spurs. So if they go this route, hopefully I would guess that they would get clearance with the family to do this in the first place. I don't think that they put it out if the family doesn't want it to be put it out. But yeah, I don't think it's just to do it just to try to catch up with Michael Jordan. Like, Kobe's legacy is already set, safe and sound, secure. The estimated target date, I would say like 2021, you know, probably because, you know, this is going to take a minute and people are still going to be riding the house for a while. So, you know, do it when it all calms down if you do put it out.
Yeah, so with you being said that his legacy is already secured, so do you think by it's necessary to do a documentary?
I don't think it's necessary at all, actually. I think that it was necessary for...
You think it's just for entertainment?
It would be just for entertainment, just to know a deeper depth into what was going on. But, you know, keep in mind the people that weren't alive to see Michael Jordan play well, versus Kobe, that's a different story. So, you know, us seeing The Last Dance is us getting unprecedented access into footage that we probably never seen. I know you wasn't born yet. I wasn't born yet. I mean, I was born, but I was only 4 years old when they was 3 years old when they were doing the 1997-1998 season. So I didn't experience Michael Jordan in the bowl.
So this is the first time for both of us.
Exactly. So that's the thing. But with Kobe, it's different. Like, you know, we all watched Kobe retire. So, you know, it wasn't like this is needed. This is just another form of entertainment, in my personal opinion, because he doesn't have anything else to prove.
And the next opinion with that, because we got to get into agree and disagree in our artist spotlights before we wrap up in about 35 minutes. So, with LeBron James, do you think that he'll come out with a documentary at some point long down the road? Because Kobe is likely going to. So do you think LeBron will do the same thing? Oh, we lost him. But I'll share my personal thoughts after he does. We'll stick with him going first.
Well, with LeBron, I think that, of course, there's going to be some type of LeBron James documentary, whether it's in, you know, following him in his later years or chronicling some of the championships that he's won or even the decision that he did. So I think that he should definitely allow access for him, but not right now. You know, hopefully, me personally as a LeBron James fan, I would love it. But like I said before, like, this man's path has been ridiculous, even coming out of high school. So, you know, anybody that watched that documentary, what was the documentary that came out with him and his high school team? It wasn't The Chosen One. I think it was called,
I'm not sure.
I gotta look it up. But yeah, it was the one that came out with LeBron. So they already have one, but it's like going deeper. I think that The Last Dance is making people like, oh, should this player do one? Or should this player do a documentary? And, you know, in reality, is it really needed? Or is it just going to be looked at as another form of entertainment? Because right now, it's a combination of both. Like, it's entertainment, but it also is needed. And we didn't really understand how much we did need it until Sunday night came.
Yeah, and I think definitely you can agree with this, that it definitely lived up to the hype in parts 1 and 2. And I think, do you think parts 3 and 4 will be even better?
Yes, most definitely. I think that it only gets better. Everybody's going to be, you know, in the zone, binge watching these next episodes, these last two episodes. And even if you watched it before, it's that good. Like, you can watch it multiple times. I also think that for episodes 3 and 4, I think that episode 3 is James Robbins' episode. And maybe in episode 4 is the Bad Boy Pistons. So that should be interesting.
Yeah, I feel like next week for part 5 and 6, they should put out part 5 on like Saturday and part 6 on Sunday. Maybe that's just me. But unless they really want to do 2 hours in a row instead of 1 and 1. But those were three key things that we wanted to just get takes out of it. And are Kobe and LeBron documentaries needed? No. Are they just for entertainment? Yes. But do you think it has anything to do with their... you kind of already touched on it with Kobe, but do you think by LeBron? I think LeBron will end up producing it with his own, you know, film company, Spring Hill Productions.
Mm-hmm.
But
he's setting up the way to do that.
Yeah. So do you think when he created Spring Hill Productions, one of his main goals was to end up doing a documentary?
I don't think probably one of his main goals was to do a documentary. But I would be lying if I said that he probably didn't have it on the list. Like, he probably has it on the list. But it's probably just a priority thing. Like, is it a big priority for us to put this out right now? Or is it a priority, like, to work with some of these other filmmakers or producers and everything and, you know, take those next steps? So, you know, I think he had it on his list. But it's just the timing thing. Like, should we do this, or should we just focus on like bringing athletes together with shows like The Shop and everything? So it's interesting.
They're showing cams right now, these players. So I had Jake Frum going at 24, and we're at 101. It hasn't been picked yet. So they're definitely welcome back. And he's still the third or fourth best available player. Yeah, third on Mel Kiper's best available. Patriots, their pick is in. Where do you see them going here at 101? Do you think they take Jake Fromm and not hand the keys right over to Brian Hoyer here instead of?
They could, especially since they didn't draft the quarterback yet. I wouldn't be surprised if they went quarterback. The Seahawks traded it to him?
Yep.
Wow.
Seahawks made a few moves. They also traded 62nd pick. They traded down to 69 from the Panthers. So they made a few moves tonight, even the second, third, fourth round. And then 5, 6, and 7 is tomorrow. And we'll also get into agree and disagree. Just one of the top headlines is LeBron's legacy was secured after 2016 title. Don't give away your answer. Yeah, agree or disagree. For everyone in the pit and live up here on the panel. But it's 11:50. We got 25 minutes left in the show. So with that being said, we'll get the music ready and we will take a break and come right back. You'll listen to the Rest Radio Sports Show, and we could have maybe a new name change starting next week. Make sure you stay tuned on our Instagram story at David Rest Radio and my personal one as well. Agree, disagree, artist spotlight, and our funny moment of the week coming up next. Segment to David Rest Radio Sports Show brought to you by Anchor.fm. David Rice, Moon Vibes, back with you. We'll rip for 911, another great station and host. In the background, the bed in my head. Four things, agree, disagree. Then after that, our artist of the week, Lauren Jarrett, who just debuted her first show on station this week. Former girlfriend of Ty Dolla $ign. And then our funny moment of the week, CD Lamb's girlfriend. We'll get into that. But first, agree or disagree. We'll get right into it. LeBron's legacy is already secured.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. LeBron doesn't have to do anything. He's already proving what he's done. At this point, he's just, I don't want to say stat padding, but at the same time, like, you know, continuing to play for the love of the game because he wants to. But at the end of the day, he doesn't have anything to prove. His impact has been monumental. I think that when it comes to Michael Jordan, he's way more of a brand ambassador of the game than Jordan was. LeBron, you know, yeah, Jordan still sold sneakers, and even Republicans buy sneakers too. But at the same time, LeBron, like, has, like, single-handedly changed people's lives, changed kids' lives, like, building up schools, being, like, the consummate role model, all while never retiring and never really getting into major trouble. Only trouble that LeBron's ever gotten into is losing to the Dallas Mavericks in a rigged series to me. But also, just choosing to do what he did with, in the way he did it, in the way that he did it with going to Miami. Not the decision, but like the way he did it without summoning Dan Gilbert and everything. So when he beat Golden State, he secured it. Nobody's ever done that. That's the best team.
And then that's when Jordan signed off on the documentary.
Exactly. So I think that Jordan felt threatened, because that's a feat that nobody else has done. You look at his stat line in that final series, it was just ridiculous. And if, you know, he could have beat them twice if JR would have just scored the bucket instead of driving back out. But, you know, his legacy is already solidified.
Well, JR says he ate Tennessee, but we're not sure when that moment happened. So we'll agree for me. I definitely agree with this one. We're both big LeBron fans, but Lionel. So Kobe's fourth all time in scoring. LeBron passed him the day before Kobe. His life was unfortunately halted, and then Karl Malone second. Kareem's first, I think, obviously. LeBron, you know, there's no signs of slowing down. Not any that we see. And do you think he'll be on his way to passing Kareem and being the all-time leading scorer by the time he retires?
No, because I don't see, like, he could. Don't get me wrong, he could, but I just don't see it. He would have to play until Bronny gets into the league, and I don't know if that would really happen. So, you know, I'm gonna say disagree.
Yeah, well, he's a sophomore in high school, he was a sophomore. I think he'll be a junior next academic year. So that's 2 years, and then they're gonna, you know, put the restrictions on, obviously, or lift the restriction, so you won't have to go to college. So maybe it's 4 more years only before he goes in the NBA. So it's actually really not that far away, if you think about it, because LeBron is 35, 36. So he'll be, we know he's going to play until he's at least 40, we know that. So you know he'll be in the league for, you know, at least 4 or 5 more years. For him, I think he's got to average at least between 25 and 30 points per game for all 5, 6 more years. For him to pass Kareem, I think he'll certainly pass Karl Malone for second. But for him to pass Kareem, I think from here on out, for him, it's just the stats and just trying to win, you know, as many championships as possible. And the next one, Aaron Rodgers will not be a Packer in 2 seasons. Agree or disagree?
I'm going to say disagree. I feel like this drives Aaron Rodgers and pushes him to another level. I think that he has at least 3 sophomore seasons, so that's the reason why I'm going to say disagree.
Yeah, I hope. I'm going to disagree only because he's the GOAT, and I don't want him to leave. And whenever he leaves Green Bay, our organization, our fan base, will be crying in our beds for weeks to come. At least I'll be crying in my bed for weeks. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm going to have to disagree. Only because I think it drives him, as you said, you know, to another higher level of expectations. But the only reason I came up with that is because that there's been, obviously reports of him, rumored to end up somewhere else by next year or in 2 years. Next one, CeeDee Lamb will finish with the most receiving yards out of any rookie this season.
If CeeDee Lamb finishes with the most receiving yards, that means that Amari Cooper is probably second on the team in receiving.
That would be interesting. Mike McCarthy's offense is going to be different than Jason Garrett's or Kellen Moore's for sure. But I don't see that happening.
So you got my part right when I said by any rookie.
Yeah, by any rookie.
Okay, just wanted that. So you disagree?
Yeah, I disagree. I think that out of the top, I'm gonna go with my guy. Out of the rookies, I think that barring injury, I think that your guy, Jerry Jeudy, he has a chance. But my gut is telling me Henry Ruggs.
Yeah. So you think Henry Ruggs will lead the way in rookie receiving yards?
Yeah, receiving yards. For yards, specifically yards. Emphasis on the yards.
All right. And the last one, Summer disagrees as well. But the last one, just a little fun one. There should be a name change next week for the David Rice Radio Sports Show. There should be, is our statement.
Oh, agree, disagree?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm agree. It's time for new beginnings, man. It's the full moon. I mean, it's the new moon, so you know it's time for new beginnings, new changes in the atmosphere, and I think that it's the perfect time.
And the only reason why it's called David Rice Radio Sports Show right now, for anyone that doesn't know, is because when I ended stuff with my last co-host, my last show, I started co-hosting with you like maybe the next week, you know, after that. So it was like, wait, the next show was like, okay, you're going to have a new co-host. So for me, I wasn't really thinking about name. I was just thinking about, looking forward to, you know, being able to work, you know, to work with, I wasn't really thinking about the name, but I think definitely now, because we're only maybe, what, 2.5-3 months in with our show together, so
yeah.
So I think now would be, you know, the perfect time to get our name. So here's a few ideas, and we'll have people vote on them. So where were they? Okay, right here. So we have, earlier we came up with Pitch Black Sports. And the reasoning behind that is because we're both in Eastern time and it gets dark, you know, at 8:30, 9 o'clock. So when we start our show, A, it's dark out, and B, actually, we're just tossing out just different, you know, random names earlier on our video chat before the show. And I said, Pitch Black Sports, and you were stunned. You thought those cool.
Repeat that last statement again, Dave. My phone went off.
So, Pitch Black Sports. We were chatting earlier before the show, earlier this afternoon.
Yeah, most definitely.
And you said you liked that idea because I just randomly said it. And you're like, whoa.
Yeah, Pitch Black Sports sounds like. It just has like a certain ring to it, and I can see us coming up with so many different logos and ideas with that, and but yeah, that's just one of many ideas that we have for the audience, the listeners, you know, for this name change.
We also came up with the Brick Wall Sports Show, and I feel like that's a little,
of course,
because the listeners wouldn't know, but. Normally, I do my show, like, behind me is a brick wall. I know it sounds kind of dumb putting two and two together, but I just thought it was a cool name, and you agreed with it as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely have a sentimental value, that name.
We also have At the Buzzer. you came up with these two. I mentioned something about like the final whistle or something like that. And
yeah, final whistle.
Only because like football has a final whistle, basketball has a final whistle, but not only they have actually a final buzzer. So, but baseball doesn't have that. So, but we don't really cover baseball much. Obviously, we can't right now because no sports going on. But so you came up with something about the buzzer. So we were saying like at the buzzer and the final buzzer. Those were the two that we came up with for that. So there's those are four. I can't find my paper where we had everything else. That were those the only four that we came up with?
Yeah, I think those are the only four. No, we actually came up with more. We came up with more.
Mm-hmm. I can't find
it. We said that as the week continues to go on, we'll see. We'll throw more in there, get more ideas to give them to vote on.
Yeah. So it won't just be up to us, dude. We'll let the viewers or the listeners decide. So we got four more minutes left to go.
You should do the funny moment.
In fact, yeah, we definitely should. That's an agenda. That's an agenda skip. I almost pulled that one off. So the final 60-second funny moment of the week. Before we get into our final thoughts of the week. So our funny moment. CeeDee Lamb was drafted yesterday at 17 overall by the Cowboys. And when his girlfriend sitting next to him got a call, if you haven't watched the video, he said, "Nope, this is my time right now," and then stole her phone. She didn't look mad. She was probably furious on the inside. She just wanted to show no emotion towards him on TV, I'm sure. But that was hilarious.
I agree with him, man. Like, don't be on your phone when it's time to shine, when it's time waiting on the phone call that can change my life right now, you know? So who knows what she could have got a phone call about. But yeah, that's crazy. I don't blame you. Should have threw the phone. Jerry will give him enough money to buy her a new phone.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. Well, I'm sure he'll have enough money himself just out of, you know, one... Just making enough money from like you know, 1 minute of salary, you know.
Right.
But so those are funny moments of the week. Any final thoughts from the show tonight? Anything you want to get off your chest, sports wise, before we wrap up?
I'm happy that it's draft night. I'm happy that this draft is going on this weekend. Shout out to the guys that are getting drafted tonight. May your destination shoot you nicely, and if they don't, just know that. You know, some of you may not have long careers, some of you may, but, you know, if you go in there, work hard, and legit, you know, play your role, you'll have success. So, yeah, I'm praying for safety and injury, and hopefully we get football back. But it's just great to see how the NFL handled this live draft. So, yeah, shout out to them. And my last thought is just, being excited for the MJ documentary on Sunday, parts 3 and 4. That's my final thoughts.
Yeah, that's at 9 Eastern on Sunday, parts 3 and 4. So do you think out of rounds 1 through 4 that it went successful virtually and how they handle it?
Yeah, they haven't had any problems. I mean, of course they have the pickers in thing, but they don't tell it just right away. So that's the only thing that they've had to work on. But today they got way better at that. And the draft is going by way smoother. So, yeah, shout out to them, man. They're doing a great job under the circumstances. And they're adamant about not pushing it back. So, you know, it all worked out. It's been a success.
And then, of course, our last 32nd, our artist of the week. Lauren Jarrett, a former member of the pop band Fifth Harmony. She joined Station F this week. And she had between 400 and 500 listeners. That's like astronomical for Station F, because we're a relatively small app. but it's also, despite it being a small app, it's a great community, and it's a pleasure bringing you sports talk every Friday night for 90 to 100 minutes live with you to get through your late night stretch as well. So thanks for being here, and we'll talk to you. I'll probably talk to you, obviously, sooner than next Friday, but another successful show, and we'll see you next time.
Peace out, everybody. Peace and love.
All right, that was Moon Vibes Radio. Thanks for tuning in to the Rose Radio Sports Show, brought to you by Anchor.fm. Good advice. And, not much to say. Lots to talk about next week as well. We'll recap parts 3 and 4 from The Last Dance. We'll also make some final notes from rounds 5 through 7 of the NFL draft. And we'll get more into potential player moves in the NBA and in the NFL, and what that means if Anthony Davis sells his house. We'll see you next time. Happy night.